Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to real gym owners and share their stories, their trials, and what's working for them right now. To apply to be a guest on this podcast, click the link in the description. Hope you enjoy and subscribe.
What's up, Gym Lords? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords Podcast. My name is Bree. I will be your host today, and I am here with Coach Muggs from Fitness Explosion Elite Training in Vacaville, California. What's up, Coach Muggs? How are you today?
Hey, Bree, I am great. How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, and thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely. All right, let's jump right into the details here. What is it that made you want to own your own gym? How did you get started?
How I got started? Basically, I was in a different industry. You know, I was traveling the world in the entertainment business and whatnot. And I had kids, two kids at the time, and they were playing sports, and I wanted to always like be there with them while they were playing sports. And the neighborhood I grew up in, fathers wasn't too much around while you playing your sports and things like that. So I wanted to be that father to be there. So I started, ended up coaching the baseball and the footballs, and you know, helping out with softball and things of that sort. And a friend of mine came up to me and was like, "Hey, you know." I was working out too at the same time from coming off the road, and a friend was like, "Hey man, when you working out, people are always trying to work out with you, you know?" And he was like, "You know, then you coaching and all these kids follow you, you can make a good trainer." I'm like, "Trainer?" He was like, "Yeah, you could be a good trainer, man." And then I was like, "Nah, I'm okay." He was like, "Man, just think about it. You can make your own hours." Make a long story short, he talked me into it. And so I made my own hours, and I thought it would be just something to do, you know, besides the other entertainment I was doing, the music industry and whatnot. And so I ended up getting my first client. And with my first client, he came back and he wrote a letter first and was just saying how great of a trainer I was. And next thing you know, he was telling me I changed his life. I saved his life. He was like, "You saved my life, man. You're saving my life. My insulin levels are down. My blood pressure is down, you know, blah, blah, blah." And now I looked at it like, wow, this is what it's about.
Right.
I want to do that for someone else. Mm-hmm. You know? And that's how I became a trainer. And so I was training at this gym, a franchise gym out in Vacaville, and ended up being the top trainer there. And I tapped out. I was at my peak. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "I got to expand this, you know?" And so then I went to another gym and was training out of a room. They let me rent a room space out. Mm-hmm. And they had two parts. They had a CrossFit room, and then they had the gym. And with the gym, I did my personal training. With the CrossFit room, I ended up building one class. They only gave me one time slot. And I'm like, "Can I get another time slot?" "No, you only get the one time slot." I'm like, "But your 4 p.m. class is not packed. It only had one person coming in there. Can I get that?" Right. "No." So I was like, in my mind, I'm like, "Okay, you stopping me from growing."
Right.
Next thing you know, my clientele was really, really big. And I got with a realtor, Dakin & Dakin, and he walked me into my building, Fitness Explosion Elite Training. And that's how I became a business owner with Fitness Explosion Elite Training, because I was determined. And I was like, "I'm going to do this, and I'm going to build bigger and larger things." Now we're the best of 2019, 2020, and 2021. We're the number one gym in Solano County.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. And it's crazy too, because it's something that it just kind of happened organically. Obviously you built it up. You worked to get to the point where you are today, but it wasn't something that you initially really planned on doing. It was almost like it was what you were meant to do.
Correct. You put it just right. It's what I was meant to do. And now that I'm changing a lot of lives, I know that was my destiny to be here, you know, along with a couple other things, but it was my destiny and was what it's meant for me to do in life. And I'm loving right. every minute of it. You know, it's not a job for me. It's just, you know, enjoyment with people and help changing their lives, along with them changing my life too. You know, mm-hmm. It changed my life in different ways by, you know, getting results and, you know, telling me their stories and whatnot.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, to see the people, the lives that you change is so rewarding. And sometimes I think that gets lost, you know, sometimes we kind of get wrapped up in the day to day and the business and you know, all that comes with it. And sometimes we forget why we actually started. And it's people like that guy that wrote you that letter that told you that you saved his life. You know, that's why we do it. Yeah. And the amount of people that you can help and completely change their lives, get them off of medications, help them lose weight, help them live higher quality lives overall.
Real talk.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so, it's so rewarding, and that's what keeps you going. So now, what does your business model look like? How do you structure things within the business? Are you doing group classes, semi-privates, one-on-ones? Do you have open membership? What does that all look like?
We got a variety. We have a personal training. We have tandem training. We have boot camps. We have our specialty classes also. Okay. We have our spin class, hip hop spin class, we call it specialty class. Then we have a class that I created called Dumbbell Rock. And it's been doing very, very well here also. We have our athletic training classes and whatnot, strength and conditioning, speed and agility, strength and conditioning classes. So we just had yoga too, but right now my yoga instructor took a yoga leave right now because different aspects of her life just got buried and things like that. So, but we do a variety of training. We want to call ourselves a training facility.
Right.
Nothing but training going down.
Love it. Yeah, I was checking out your Instagram. It looks like a lot of fun, especially the Dumbbell Rock class. I saw that. It looks really cool and engaging. You know, it makes people actually want to come and work out. So that's a big aspect.
When you walk in here, it's like a club. It's like a party going on. You know what I mean? We want you having high energy. We want you, when you walk in here, looking at our wall, it says, I am, I can, I will, on our wall. We want you to have nothing but positivity when you walk in and when you walk out. We want to give you an experience that you never got before from any gym around. So that's how we do it around here.
I love that.
We have a live DJ that comes in and goes crazy, you know, so the classes go like that quick.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely. When the energy is high like that, it's contagious, you know, and that's what's so nice about those group classes too, because people feed off of other people's energy. So that's cool. Okay. So now, how many members are you currently serving at your facility?
We're serving over 150 members at our facility right now.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And now, as far as the structure goes for the memberships, how are your members paying for their memberships? Is it on a monthly basis? Are you doing packages? How do you structure the membership itself?
Yeah, we got to have a variety of month-to-month or 3-month package or 6-month, 3-month package or 12-month package. We do have it going on like that. We try to make it easier for our clients than going, especially like with personal training, the normal base, going session by session. We don't do that. We give you a package deal. All right, take this package and let's get it going. You got 12 sessions right here, three a week, and let's make it go. You know,
right.
So that's how we structure it. We have different packages, variety of packages.
Okay. And yeah, I like that. Go ahead.
Excuse me. And with our open gym, we do have private sessions. So basically they will sign in for their open gym session. And we give a package for that too.
Okay. All right. So yeah, I like that, you know, especially with the personal training, not selling them just on single sessions, because one, from a client standpoint, they're not going to get results with one session.
Yeah.
And on the other side of things, from a business standpoint, it's like, why do you want to sell somebody X amount of times a year, 100 times a year,
right?
You know, as opposed to 3 times or 2 times, or even if they're signing up for a year in some instances, once a year, you know, it's so much easier from a business standpoint. And then the real thing here is the results for your clients. You know, we know that they have to commit to a certain amount of time, at least to give themselves the time to actually see the results. So when they're on single sessions, it's like, it doesn't really make sense for anybody.
Right. Right. And the single sessions, I feel, I mean, that was the old school way, but I also feel like you can rip a client off doing single sessions. You know, they buy three sessions at $70 a session. You know, next thing you know, they buy another three at $70 a session. That adds up. And I don't want that. I want to make sure that everyone is comfortable, you know, and making sure that everyone feels good when they're working out and feel good for their pockets, feel good for their mind, body, and soul also.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Now, are there any other services that you offer within the facility in addition to the fitness membership side of things?
Yes.
So as far as nutrition, accountability, supplementation, retail things, anything like that?
Yes, we have nutritional programs. I did forget to mention we have virtual program also.
Okay.
But we do have nutritional programs. But we do have merch. You know, we have a lot of merch that we sell on site and on online. What else do we offer? Basically that's it. You know, we do a lot for the community, doing different events for the community too. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's, now something with the nutrition side of things, is that something that a lot of your members take advantage of? And is that something that's an additional charge or is that included in the membership?
It's an additional charge.
Mm-hmm.
We have about three different varieties of nutritional plans.
Okay.
Ways you can go, or if we do give free, we call it home, you know, we call it home meal plans that we could just give out and they just followed a certain one. But when we build them up for them and everything, yes, we add an additional charge to that because it takes time for my trainers to put it together or for me to put it together.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
We do partner with another store out here, a nutrition shop out here. We do partner with them on our challenges and whatnot, and send our clients there to, weigh in and get on the. Why am I losing my train of thought on the scale?
In body
scale.
Yeah.
And then the nutrition shop also gives them a free meal plan program too. So I do a lot of partnerships with them too. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I like that you do charge an additional fee for those services. A lot of gym owners that I speak with are kind of just including those in the membership, but something that is overlooked a lot of the time is that, you know, there are two ways to grow the business. We can grow within with the members that we already have by ascending them into higher levels of service, which in turn get them better results and allow you to charge more per client. And then also, of course, getting new people in the door. But a lot of people kind of overlook that, the fact rather, that the people that are already in your facility are your greatest source of revenue because, you know, the people that have already purchased something from you in the past are more likely to purchase from you again in the future. So if we can provide them higher levels of service within the facility to get them better results and therefore charge them more for those services, you know, it works on both ends, the business side, and then also the best results, the best experience for your members.
Right. And that's what we practice, customer first, great customer service and whatnot. Well, safety first, but great customer service. And that's what we attack. How can we provide everything we can for our members? So we also give them an additional private Facebook page, you know, and that private Facebook page, we share a lot of information on. And then they get to react and inside too, sharing their what they made for dinner that night or sharing their experience they went through or sharing their weight loss or their transformation pictures and whatnot. And so we try to keep it in that community amongst ourselves to where we're sharing with each other, a lot of sharing, you know.
Right.
And then they reach out to people outside the community. And next thing you know, we have abundance of people coming in from word of mouth.
Yes. Know? Yeah, absolutely. Now, as far as that piece goes on the marketing side of things and getting the word out there about what it is that you're doing at your facility, how are you approaching the marketing side?
Well, the marketing side, of course, we have our clients out there, being advocates for us. Mm-hmm. They're out there going hard for us. And then we are hitting our social media basis with our Instagrams and mm-hmm. our Facebook and our Twitter and whatnot. So, and then once we out there touching the community, it shows community presence. And once we out there, a lot of people are like, wow, that logo. I keep seeing that logo everywhere. That logo just gave my son $20 that on Christmas, and he didn't have no presents or anything. And that logo, that person wearing that logo just gave him $20, and my son was the happiest thing running around. So that's how we're attacking it. We do emails and whatnot to try to attract our old customers or someone that has been dropped off for a while. So we try to use our email system to come back and grab them and say, hey, you know, don't give up, move forward, you know. So we're putting it out there like that.
Okay. So more so on the organic side of things to generate as many people, kind of get the word out there to as many people as possible. Now, are you doing anything on the paid side? Are we doing any paid advertising through Facebook, Instagram, Google, anything of that nature?
Yes, we do paid advertisement through Facebook and Instagram. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do. We do a little bit of old school on getting flyers, you know, paying for flyers and whatnot, and going out there and passing it out to the communities as far as our businesses, hair, beauty shops, barber shops, anywhere we can, you know, place our flyer, we try to go mm-hmm. ahead and place the flyer from there too. Yes.
Okay. And how many new faces on average would you say are you seeing per month through the forms of advertising that you're doing now?
It can be about 30.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, about 30. We average out. Some months it's hotter, you know.
Right.
Some months are colder, but average out to be about 30.
Okay. And are those, how's the conversion rate as far as them converting into some type of paying member?
We got about a 90 to 95% conversion rate.
Okay. Yes. So most of the time when they walk in the door, they're in.
Right.
Yeah.
Once again, word of mouth was serious. We also had a lot of media on us, especially during the pandemic. We're right in the heart of downtown Vacaville. Okay. And so a couple of shops down here were, you know, going against the mandates and whatnot. So media was down here hot. But what the media seen was they'd be in our window and they'd see our gym, you know, doing the right things, but they seen us outside. We was moved our outside parking lot and grinding, you know, pushing equipment in from the inside, rolling it all the way out to the outside, putting that grind on. And so we got trust with the community. And when we got trust with the community and they're putting it out there like, hey, you know, this gym right here is really trustworthy. They got a great program. They're getting results. They're getting transformations for the mind, body, and soul. So that's important. It's not just the body. It's for the mind, body, and soul. Mm-hmm. They're doing great things, you know. People coming in and they say, hey, I want to sign up. Just automatically, I want to sign up. You know, the ones that we have to, you know, sit down with a fit assessment and whatnot, we do turn them over about 95%, and we turn them over also, you know.
Right.
But some people come in and, you know, especially with the pandemic, they were like, if you wear masks, do you wear masks? And I was like, yeah, but as of right now, we do. Okay, they turn right back around and get out the door. And, you know, but at the same time, you know, I try to make sure that I make the community feel comfortable and everyone feel comfortable. No throwing, no shade, no throwing any type of prejudice towards anyone.
And we're, right.
So I want to always try to say, hey, we embrace all and we mm-hmm. do it all together.
Absolutely. I love that. So it kind of worked out for you having the media coverage there, you know, not for you, but just for them to see that you were taking the right steps, you were doing the right thing and building the trust in the community. That's a huge piece of it. Trust, you know, when people trust you, they feel comfortable with you, then far more likely to sign up and stay as well. So, all right. Now, are there any key challenges that you're facing within the business right now? You know, a lot of people coming off of the last 2 years, it's been a wild ride. So a lot of people are facing some things, kind of making the transition, coming back into the facility. So is there anything super specific right now that you would kind of define as a challenge within the business?
Of course, the pandemic was a challenge. But, a lot of us gym members went through, the gym owners went through that. You know, those that survived really really put their foot in it and grinded it out. Another challenge with me is challenges, because I'm not the challenge. I always felt like, okay, if I throw a challenge and I'm asking people to pay this to come in for my challenge, I feel like I was getting over on them. So my challenge is now, because that's where it's coming to in the new age of fitness, is throwing a lot of challenges, right? Mm-hmm. For as fitness challenges and whatnot. And so my whole mindset was an old school mindset. Like, I don't want to take their money, you know, or whatnot. And so next thing you know, it's like, I'm getting explained to me, like, this is not, you're taking their money. You're still helping them. You know, you're giving your service. You're doing everything else. The challenge is to get their mindset in a different way. So my challenge is to doing challenges. That's one of the challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because that happens a lot of the time. And especially because, like you said, challenges are big in the industry right now. And some places have given them kind of a bad name, you know, because it's all in the execution and the value and the service that you provide. So, you know, you can't overpromise and underdeliver. You got to underpromise and overdeliver, you know? So people may have had some bad experiences at certain places or something, and then it kind of like clouds the whole idea of the challenges. But I ran challenges in my facility, and it was a game changer, not only for the business itself, but for the members and the clients, because people come in and the challenges are great because it gives them a certain amount of time, right? Like we were talking about before, they're not going to see results overnight. We know this. They do have to commit to some sort of time frame. But if they can commit for 21 days or 28 days or 6 weeks or something that they can see the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, it's not too long, but then you can go in and just over deliver for that 6 weeks, you know, and get them results and show them what they're capable of and change their mindset, you know, and get them into a routine and start showing them that, you know, they're going to feel better. They're going to have more energy. They can lose the weight that they want to lose. They can get healthier. And we know it takes a little bit to establish habits too, you know, so we need them for a certain amount of time. So if they're committing to that 6 weeks and we can really show them how they can change their lives, get them results, and then change their mindsets, you know, that's huge. And that changes their life for the future as well. So just kind of getting past that, it's tough because a lot of gym owners and personal trainers, you know, we're like, we're not salespeople, right? We didn't do this to be a salesperson, but you did do it to help people and to change their lives. And we know we're providing a service for these people, and they do have to pay for it. You know, it is an investment in their health, and there's no better investment that you can make at the end of the day.
Right, right. And so my next challenge is being self-employed, having this gym up for 3 years now, about to be 3 years in July. The next challenge is, you know, time. You know, when you're self-employed, you're in here grinding, you know, 16-hour days, you know, so you want to get help in here. So it's time to get the time. And then as far as getting quality trainers in, you know, and trainers that you can trust, trainers that's not going to get over on, once again, it's clients for me. I love making sure the clients feel good, making sure quality is right, you know, and giving them the right, clients the right quality. And then, you know, some trainers have bad names on training the client, not getting them results. Sometimes it's more likely the client might not be getting the results, but when you're not showing up for the client, you know, or just taking the client's money and not showing up for them and not giving them what they need, it's hard to find quality trainers like that. And so that's another grind for me to make sure I'm finding quality trainers that's going to be in here and, you know, grind it out and be, give everything they have to the clients or to our fitness family. Put it like that. I don't like calling them clients. I like calling them my fitness family.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it is challenging because it's like, you know, your business. So you care so deeply about it. You care about the people, you care about the business itself. And it's hard to find somebody that has that same level of care, you know, and it's like, you want to make sure that that value is upheld, no matter who is providing the service within the facility, whether it's coming from you or from one of your trainers.
Yeah.
So that's a challenge that a lot of gym owners face, you know, finding the right people to be able to continue to uphold that level of service and provide for your clients or for your family, essentially, in the same way that you do.
Right, right. So them are the challenges I'm facing right now. Mm-hmm. You know, just getting more trainers in here so we can move the crowd a little bit more and whatnot. And making sure that people see I have quality trainers, or the community see I have quality trainers also. And therefore people want to, instead of just coming for Coach Muggs, the celebrity, they want to, you know, train with a trainer at Fitness Explosion Elite Training.
Right. Right. Yeah, and that can be a challenging transition sometimes too, because it's like you've been the face.
Yeah.
You know, people come in expecting you. So, you know, sometimes a transition there can be a little bit challenging, you know, saying, oh no, like you're not going to work with me, you're going to work with so-and-so. So finding the right people to be able to uphold, again, that level of service that you provide is the key there, but easier said than done.
Right, right.
Absolutely. All right. So now one thing that I always love to ask every gym owner that I speak with is if you could provide a piece of advice to somebody who is considering opening their own facility, doing their own thing, going their own way, what would that be?
That would be, you know, make sure you bring good quality, make sure you help the community, make sure, you know, the clients are first, you make sure they are your fit fam, you make sure you greet them and, you know their names when they're coming in, know everyone's name, know how everyone perform, know their injuries or, you know, the modifications you need. So you want to make sure that you're, you know, really in tune with your clients, you know, always making sure safety first, once again, community, and, you know, being an honest person, being honest to what you're doing, you know, mm-hmm. and giving it all you got. And never give up. If this is your dream, do not give up. Do not give up, you know.
Absolutely.
And, you know, get professional help yourself if you need that professional help. We can't do everything by ourselves. We have to learn from someone else. So get that professional help.
Right. Yeah, that's a great piece of advice because, you know, time is the only resource we can't get back. And, you know, if you're wasting time trying to figure it out on your own, you're not only costing yourself that time that you can't get back, but a lot of times it's money as well, you know? So time and money, especially when you're opening a business or running a business, those are very important aspects. So if you can save time and save money and connect with other people and learn and grow. And I think a lot of times it's hard because our ego kind of gets in the way, you know, it's like, we want to do everything on our own. We want to know everything or think that we know everything rather, but sometimes, you know, you just don't know what you don't know. So if you can learn from somebody else who's been there before, who's done it and kind of put yourself on the fast track, it's a better move typically.
Right. And, you know, I don't want to get crazy on this, but it's not being crazy. It's me. Okay. The way I operate is I will operate on faith too. I believe in God, you know, and I really, you know, and are in tune. I tell my clients, I walk around with joy. I walk around with happiness. I feel fulfilled. You know, I feel light when I walk around, and I want to share this light with you. You know, I want to share how it feels when you walk around or any battle come to you that you can, you know, go ahead and, you know, conquer that battle or take that battle and don't be stressed out, you know, because nowadays there's a lot of people being stressed out over the things that's happening, you know, quick. And so once you get this a good feeling about you yourself and, you know, and having that faith, then it's a different way you attack things and you get over them. Yes.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's like a different perspective and an ability to kind of manage your state internally, regardless of what's happening around you. Right. And that is a very, very big aspect of it, because like you said, you know, a lot of times when anything stressful comes up, everybody's running around so stressed out all the time. Right. So being able to manage that and then share that with other people is huge. So I love that. That's awesome.
Thank you.
All right. So as we start to wrap up here, where can the listeners find you on social media?
Well, you can find us on Instagram at FitnessExplosion707. And you can find us on Facebook at Fitness Explosion. You can find us on Twitter at FitnessExplosion707. And where else? Oh, FitExplosion.net. FitExplosion.net is our website. So that's how you can find us. And you'll be seeing us a lot more, too, in the near future. Yes.
Absolutely. Awesome. All righty. So Coach Muggs from Fitness Explosion Elite Training in Vacaville, California, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. It's been so great having you on the show.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate you, Bree. You're wonderful.
Thank you so much. And to all of the listeners out there, make sure that you subscribe so that you'll be updated on future episodes of the show. In the meantime, keep killing it out there, and we will catch you on the flip side. Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to this interview, but don't go anywhere. We still have two more incredible interviews coming right up inside this episode. But if you're a gym owner that's looking to get more clients, keep them longer, and make more money, head to the link in the description of this podcast and schedule a free, leave your credit card at home consultation with one of our business consultants. You see, here at Gym Launch, we've helped over 4,000 gym owners across the world increase their sales, take home more money, and build the business of their dreams. And it simply starts with a phone call. Click on the link in the description of this podcast to schedule your call today. Now, let's head into the next interview.
Welcome to the Gym Lords Podcast, where we talk to gym owners who are in the trenches, doing work, changing lives in their area. I'm your host, Dominic. Today, I'm here with my guests, owners of Evolve Athletic Club in White Plains, New York. Mike and Chris, how are you doing today?
Great, man. How you doing?
All is good over here, man. Crushing.
Doing great. Yeah, crushing it. I love it. Yeah, man, it's Monday, and I say you might as well just go out and kick Monday's ass and get it over with. So
that's it, bro.
Here we are. You guys are in your right in the studio here in the gym. Yep. Beautiful place. Tell us all about it. Evolve Athletic Club. What are you all about?
So we are a health and wellness facility where we cover everything from basic fitness to strength and conditioning and recovery. We started about 4 years ago with a goal to create lifestyle changes for people that are looking to either elevate their game, start their game. And we developed a facility that is a one-stop shop where you can come in, you can do your fitness class, you could do your strength training, you could do your recovery with multiple different types of machines. And, you know, we work with our hands a lot. And we've been kind of rock and rolling with that plan ever since.
Yeah, I mean, hands-on facility. We love seeing our members come down. We're basically the opposite of what a big box chain would be. We're a small boutique, very intimate. We build community, we build culture, and, you know, we like it that way.
Awesome. Yeah, and that's one of the big things that I think we highlight is, if we're going to generalize, really you have two types of facilities these days. You have an equipment access facility, which would be your standard big box generally, or a coaching facility. Even though you do have open access, basically everybody who's coming into your facility is getting some type of coaching, either at the beginning at minimum or ongoing coaching. So you are a coaching-led facility first and foremost.
Yeah,
that's correct. You know, Mike touched on it. We like seeing people, obviously, no matter where they are in their fitness journey. And I think it's really worked well for us as far as some of our services, because we've acquired a lot of members that maybe wouldn't necessarily even start their fitness journey because they don't know where to start.
Yeah.
And we're a very non-intimidating space that people can come into and learn and grow. And not only that, grow into what we touched on, being a lifestyle company, to where now they're sending us videos of them doing a workout in their hotel on vacation, where, you know, 6 to 8 months ago, that wasn't even, you know, a thought process. Yeah. And that's some of the biggest rewards for me, let alone having a beautiful space to work in, a job that I love, is basically seeing people from start point to midway point to finish point.
Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. So you guys have, it's been a little bit over 4 years, had the opportunity, you came together, had a little bit of prior experience with each other, but not a lot, but enough that you had faith to go into things together, mm-hmm. had that mutual respect, came into what was a sports performance style of facility, flipped the model, did a rebrand, you know, did some renovations, added things on. And now you have a full complement of services, personal training, boot camp. You're doing all different types of training. You have a full complement of services here. When you started, it was just, when you started renovating, flipped the model, it was just boot camp, right? That was the primary offering.
Yeah, we had a couple of semi-private and private members that we dealt with. The open gym really wasn't a thing until like a few months in. But we held 3 classes a day. At one point, we had 4 classes a day and sprinkled in, like I said, some private and semi-private here and there. But as renovations went on, as we got more familiar with our space and we got some new equipment in and we got some more inquiries from our open house and, you know, our welcome back party from, you know, some clients from the gym that was here previously, you know, we started to expand and now we have our full menu of services and it's worked really well for us.
Got it. Okay. And that was, you kind of led into where I wanted to go. It sounds like it was pretty shortly after you came on and started adding the services on that you built out that full complement, at least as offerings, pretty quickly.
Yeah. I don't know if it was necessarily, because again, we made our business on, we want to see people. Yeah. And one of our main things was, and this is kind of on the marketing and, you know, the marketing and sales side, if you will. I don't want somebody to come into the gym and feel like there isn't something on the menu for them, whether it's, you know, a boot camp, an open gym, a sauna use, semi-private. So I wanted to try and, or, you know, build a menu that provided something for everybody. Yeah. And having, you know, Mike and myself, you know, be high level and skilled coaches, we could do that to where we felt confident controlling a group of 2 to 6. You know, we feel confident working with a, you know, a CEO of a major corporation that, you know, is, you know, carries around 3 phones a day and we're able to work with him. So it was something that we needed to dive headfirst into. We did. And the results have been tremendous.
Awesome. Awesome. So when you guys took over, was it immediately that you added on this wing where you have the recovery services, or did that take a little while?
It was pretty immediate. The only thing that really took a while was like getting permits and zoning stuff and all that. But once it was done, it was, to be honest, I would say probably the gem of our like welcome back party or our grand opening party. Everybody wanted to know what it was about. Yeah. I mean, we had a line around the corner to do cryotherapy, a line to check out the sauna.
Yeah.
And people were just really enamored with the space, and it was really, really done well. There was a lot of thought put behind that wing to make basically a true separation of almost, I guess I would say, church and state, to where it's, you know, you have your state in the gym and then, you know, your church in the wellness area.
And it's the way it's designed is, you come into the gym, you know, we have our dark gray walls and a white ceiling and turf and, you know, all our stuff, you know, our colors are black, white, and action green.
Hulk smash green.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Whichever mood, however much pre-workout you took, whatever.
Exactly.
When you look into the recovery area, which is directly behind where you are now, is it's everything's white back there. So you can see, you know, this is the theme of everything that's right behind us. And then that whole area is white.
Yeah.
So it looks like something out of a movie where it's like, because it's just,
I mean, bluntly, it's aggressive, non-aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's total spa feeling. We have these beautiful epoxy floors that look like a bowling ball, honestly. And you just feel good when you go back there.
Right.
Awesome. So that was in the plans basically right away. Yeah. It wasn't a bolted on afterthought, such that we see really often in the gym industry. And I don't think that it's especially with micro gyms and people trying to provide more for their members. I think that it's great to have those services because people need them. There's, you know, tons of benefits. There are other businesses that evolve that exist independently doing it. The model just doesn't get off the ground too often in a lot of micro gyms. It ends up being, you know, kind of a nice to have, or yeah, I have members that use my Normatec boots once a month and they smell and they don't get used, or, you know, there's a lot of trouble in the industry getting people to use these things, even though the owners want to buy them, they want to invest them. It's not just about how to make more money. It's a great service to offer the clients. How do you feel you get good engagement and good usage of it? How do you get your clientele to see the value in recovery and in taking care of themselves?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with like dipping your toe in the water. You know what I mean? We get a lot of our clients who will kind of like wander into those spaces. You know what I mean? Whether they wander back to our sports medicine area back here, where we have two treatment tables, our Hydroc and all that stuff. We have Normatec boots that are hanging right there. You know, we have our whole unit set up and they're like, what do these do? You know, I had in college, I had a modalities professor who worked at the hospital for special surgery that told us, he goes, this is important to know what happens physiologically at every bit of it, because you're going to have people that ask you, you know, what does stim do? What does the ultrasound machine do? What does the compression boots do? What's the theory? You know, I mean, you gotta know what happens. So we'll explain it to them. And once we keep it, you know, simple, and they're like, that's interesting. Can I try that? Can I do that? And by all means, let's go. Let's hook you up. You want to do cryo? Let's do it. Let's try it out. You know what I mean? We'll give them a little feel, get them to taste it. And once they realize that, hey, this is not bad, they start mixing it into their routine. And then you hear like, man, I got to do that more. Do that more. And then we carve out time in their schedule and their time that they're here, and they do it.
And I think it's also too, a big part two to that would be just creating a good dialogue and vocabulary with it, to where it's something that's not completely foreign. You know, make no bones about it, we're a training company first. And that is, I like to kind of call the cherry on top, to what we do. It is a branch. It's not the be all end all, but it's definitely a branch. And it's something for our people that if we preach and push them towards that entity, they know and trust that we just have their best interests at mind.
Right.
Like, for example, there'll be days where, you know, guys are coming off a long road trip business wise. You know, have even something as little as they have birthday party and they're just shot. You know, they have their kid's birthday party and they're just shot.
Well, if anybody's not run a kid's birthday party.
Yeah, exactly. Especially in COVID times. Yeah. So like, hey, you know, we're not even going to touch the weights today. You're going to go do a 20-minute sauna. You're going to, and sometimes, believe it or not, it's almost forced upon them. Like, no, you're doing this today. And then they're like, okay, well, this is the tremendous benefit that I see. And now I'm going to start to incorporate this.
Yeah.
So talking about creating dialogue, strong vocabulary, making recommendations, to me, it seems like it all falls into expert positioning of the two of you, as far as why somebody should be doing it. It's not bells and whistles. It's not gadgets. It's not shiny object. To be frank, it's not, you know, the cool bro thing to go do because you just, you know, kicked your own ass for 35 minutes for a reason that you don't understand. It's, right. Hey, you're here for coaching and I'm going to advise you that on some days you need this. On some days, you know, your readiness to work out may not be where you want it to be, and you're going to get more benefit, and then come tomorrow or the next day and get more benefit. So it really all comes back to me, to this feeling of a holistic.
It's care. It's just it's care.
Yeah.
You know, we care. We take ourselves out of the equation, and basically you did a great job of kind of just bringing it home to one simple word, care. We just care about our people to the point where, you know, I know we're both staying up at night some nights, like, why haven't I seen this person? Why haven't they come in? And you almost, we borderline kind of get frustrated with, number one, ourselves, and then them, like, what could we do better? How could we approach this better? Yeah. So, you know, part of our culture is we've established a level of care. And I always tell people when they come in, you're going to get to know us very well, because, you know, we're here
very fast.
We're here pretty much day in and day out. I don't think, knock on wood, we've taken a sick day or really even taken a vacation aside from Christmas. Yeah. You know, so we care about the people, we care about the space, and we care about each other as coworkers too.
Yeah. I think also I feel like we're very blessed to have people trust us as much as they do. Not that they had, that we haven't earned it from them, but, you know, we stay consistent and we do care about everybody. And that has built that culture of just whatever you think you need, whatever you have a question about, you need something answered, you could always come to me, Chris, and we'll give you our straight up honest answer. I don't think we've ever, I mean, obviously who would, but like, we would never lie to our clients about anything or sugarcoat it or like give them some false hope about how much this would help or that would help in hopes of like maybe upselling them for some type of treatment here, other than being like
what the straightforward answer
is. Yeah, what the straightforward answer is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think not even so much to say that I think most people that are in this business wouldn't lie to somebody, but it's really easy to get caught up in, because we care, because we're helpers, because we're, you know, we feel like we want to do everything we can for our clients. A lot of times there's this nature to kind of overstep, to get out of our lane, so to speak. And one of the things that we talked about before we hopped on was you guys aren't really into the realm of nutrition coaching and supplement sales, because you feel like it's not your lane. It's not where you can serve the clients at this high level that you feel like they deserve. So for you, it's, hey, if I can do this, I'm going to give you a 10 out of 10 and I'm going to make the best recommendations for you and believe it. And if I can't, I'm going to refer you out. I'm going to use a strategic partnership or a referral so that I can always look myself in the mirror and say, I did the right thing for the customer because I care.
Yeah. I think customer integrity is absolutely important to what we do, because that's, it all flows into one big pot of just culture and trust. And that's really what our business model, when you break it down to, is just culture and trust. And even so far as to say, like, I enjoy even some of our members using other members as references. You know, we have a realtor and she basically promised to sell everybody's
she's selling
house.
Everybody's house now.
You know what I mean? So it's wonderful to see basically just these crosshairs coming together and making, you know, a strong, tight-knit bond for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Along that same lines of doing everything you can for the clients, of fostering relationships, of where you're going. One thing, and I think I got so excited about everything else you guys were doing that I didn't ask, do you have any other staff besides yourself, or is everything running through the two of you?
Just us right now.
I thought that it was the two-man show for the most part.
Let's be frank. I mean, COVID really, for a small business, it touched us pretty hard. We had a wonderful staff of two ladies that really, really rocked and rolled. And they did really, really great stuff by us. But unfortunately, with it just boiled down to, it is what it is. And it boiled down to a numbers game. And unfortunately, that's where we're at.
But you adapt, achieve, and you overcome. And
that's it.
We're doing pretty, I mean, it's tough.
They're long days. I love what I do. I love what I do, but you know, it's what you have to do, and that's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys are, when you care about people and you're in it for the right reasons, it makes it easier to do those long days without making you resentful or bitter about the fact that, you know, sometimes you have a business, sometimes you have a job. Hopefully it's a good mix of both, but it's not, it doesn't always go that way. So one of the things that I wanted to touch on that realm is, being that it's the two of you, you know, you've got a fair amount of client base that you're managing right now. And we can talk about this numbers, percentages, or just generally, that's going to be up to you. How close are you to the capacity of how many people you can serve in your location based on the fact that you're just two, you're human beings. You might be superhuman, but you're still a human being. So where does that put you there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very good question. It's honestly one I haven't thought of because I'm like, everybody come on, let's go.
You know? But it's funny. I mean, it's funny you say that though, because I've thought there's been times where like, I'm picking up the phone when people call and I'm like, yeah, that's where I come in, blah, 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 book. And then all of a sudden I'm sitting there and I'm like,
what did I just do?
When?
Yeah.
I'm wondering when we're going to hit that point to where we're going to have to be like, we can't take anybody else.
Yeah. I think it's going to have to turn into more of a strategic positioning. Yeah. To where if we have certain numbers, like especially with our semi-private and our boot camp, and especially too with things opening back up and people getting a little bit more comfortable, that's important too. I would say right now we're at 75 to 80% of our capacity. I would say if we had another 20%, and again, strategically, we are two human beings, and I think you can get burnt out as a coach to where it's just like, I don't even want to look at my own face, let alone another person's face. So I do think you can get burnt. There is a little burnout there. I would put it there. There are some strategic moves that we can make where maybe we tinker with some class scheduling to allow for maximization of a schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that I see, because you guys, you may feel sometimes like you're not on an island or you're alone, but there's a lot of people in similar positions to you, people that are down to one or two man show or women. And now the bigger thing that's coming through is leveraging technology, scheduling softwares, follow-up softwares, things where you can never automate human interaction. And let's be real, you guys, there has to be a degree of human interaction to maintain the standards that you guys have there. But have you looked into, have you worked with any types of technology platforms or anything that would help you leverage your time, would help you kind of have extra touch points with your clients without, making you have to stay up till 3 a.m.? You might do that anyway because of the baby, but.
Aside from when COVID hit, we basically moved our entire space over to Zoom. I had a member contact me and they're like, obviously we're both down and out that we couldn't be. I mean, keep in mind, like in the state of New York, we were closed for 6 months.
Oh yeah, New York got hit hard for sure.
So, I mean, you basically take your business model and throw it out the window.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we almost got caught with your pants down too. Cause at first we were super confident, like, oh, it's just going to be, I mean, I'm sure a lot
2 weeks.
We were like, oh, we deserve a little vacation.
And that's not to say that's right or wrong. It's just more, it was what it was. You have to, like I said, you kind of have to adapt. So what we've done is we moved everybody to Zoom, and we tried to interact as best as possible while staying safe and all the guidelines that followed that.
Yeah.
But even so, when we got back in, we still have a Zoom offering where we'll have, I think, what did you say, 5 or 10 people that kind of use the Zoom.
Yeah,
it's still, broadcasting the boot camp class. My mom's one of them. She tunes in from Georgia because she likes what we do and she supports us. But that, as far as your question goes, that's probably our only technology as far as touch points go. We're really just that human interaction.
Yeah. I mean, like before that, when we had on our website, you could fill out a little sheet and it would go to, we had a receptionist at the time. She would get an email to her. She would make the phone calls right away. And I mean, that was kind of it was using these forms to kind of get people's information to reach out to them. And that worked really well for us. To the point where now, like you said, like we'll probably get a couple phone calls that we can't reach because it's one of us in here at a time. And they leave a voicemail, we call them back like a day later or something like that. Or when Chris gets in the morning and, that's tough because, we used to have somebody there that was our relay point to who would make the phone calls and it made our business run a little bit smoother. But like we said, like we keep saying, it's, all about adapting and we keep it honest with people. I mean, that's the biggest thing too. We call them, we're so sorry. It took us a day or two to get back to you, but we're getting back to you. We didn't forget you.
Yeah. And thankfully, at least people, especially I think New Yorkers, people in the Northeast, who generally might have a reputation for being a little impatient, a little brash, have even toned it down a little bit and have realized you get paid lip service. There's you know, there's this, oh, we're all in this together thing. But I think on the level of, if you're in a service-based business, people really have been mostly understanding. You know, I don't know how long that goodwill lasts, and hopefully it lasts a little bit longer for all of our sake, but at least it's, you know, you guys, you know, in White Plains, you know, pre-COVID, if you didn't get back to somebody in 20 minutes, you know, they might already be throwing eggs at your window. Who knows?
Or moving on to another space for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you guys, you know, there's tons of competition. Everything's jam packed. And until somebody knows what your difference is, you're another name. If they're not a referral or something like that, if somebody just hits Google, like, all right, I'll just keep calling until someone answers. But
yep, yeah, absolutely.
You guys, you know, at least people are a little bit more understanding. So I think the last thing that I want to hit, especially with the two of you going through, you know, you had, you know, different backgrounds. You guys came together. You've reorganized this business. You've made it into something, you know, that you're proud of. It's a great brand. You have a lot behind it, but you know, there's always lessons. There's always bumps that come with it. So, you know, maybe you guys both will have the same answer, but I'll give you both a crack at it. My big question is always, if there's anything that you wish you knew sooner, if there's something you could go back and tell your younger self, whether it be, you know, when you were about to get into the business or somewhere along the way in this incarnation of the business, is there anything that stands out that you don't like to tell yourself earlier, or you don't like to know sooner, that you think would help, other than predicting COVID? Because, you know,
that's a loaded question. We're both looking at each other like, who's going to go first?
I'll answer first.
Please don't answer first. I mean, listen, I don't want to sound cocky or conceited or anything like that, but I feel I feel like we journey that we're on, we keep learning, and I'm lucky enough to, Chris has a little bit more experience than me, and I'm lucky enough, everybody says, you know, if you're the smartest guy in the room, you have a problem. I feel lucky every day that he's the smartest guy in the room, and I've learned so much from Chris, and he's, you know, he's become kind of like a bigger brother of mine, and you know, we just kind of take this thing on the chin, and you know, we look back on some things and say like, huh, man, from a business standpoint, I would tell my younger self to go back, learn a little bit more of like the analytics and the logistics about running a business, no matter which one it is. That way you can better, you know, obviously go back. Everybody would like to change something, I guess, at some point in the journey. I think that would be mine, would be to go back and I would tell my younger self in college, like, hey, maybe you should take an elective course in business or learn how to do this or do that, because that was my biggest thing. And is that I was just, you know, I was an athlete growing up. I was an athlete all my entire life, and Chris was as well. And, you know, we know how to treat people, you know how to talk to people, you know how to train people and everything like that. But I don't know how to operate people as well business-wise. And luckily, I've learned from some really great people, family-wise, my sister, my mom. You know, like I said, Chris has had experience, and I've learned a lot from him and our owner, you know, one of our, not owner, our partner. You know, and it's just been, that's been my biggest thing, and I'm still learning today. And I think that that would be the one thing.
You know, definitely reciprocated with Mikey. I learn. And I think it's not so much what I would do different. My advice would be to, number one, be patient. Be patient with not only yourself, but with people. Be patient.
Come on, Siri.
Be patient.
Siri's got an answer too.
Be patient. And obviously, if as a coach, don't chalk it up to a loss if they don't get things right away, or how they're explained in that moment. And what I mean by that is you got to put your ego aside and say, okay, they didn't get it how I wanted to. How would I say it again? There was a communication breakdown there. And I think that covers a couple of different spectrums, from clients to coworkers to, you know, board members, whatever the case is okay. Communicate, over-communicate, and be patient with not only yourself, because every day is a new journey. Every day is a battle. You're going to have ebbs and flows, ups and downs, rights and lefts. You're going to have a 6-month vacation. It's all relative. Be patient with yourself, be patient, and when something you feel in your gut is right, it's more than likely right.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you guys both took your own crack at it because you both dropped some gems there. Last thing before we let you go, for anybody out there listening, where can they find you? Website, social media, give us all the plugs.
Check us out on Instagram at Evolve Athletic Club. We pretty much give you weekly highlight reels. We're posting on the stories. We got highlights on there and everything like that. Our Instagram is probably the best way to find us.
Yep.
You know, that's
EvolveAthleticClub.com, and on Facebook, it's Evolve Athletic Club.
Yeah.
So we're right in downtown White Plains, heart of White Plains, right off of Mamaroneck Avenue. If you're in the area, come on down, stop by. We'd love to say hello.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome, guys. Well, I appreciate you both hopping on with us today. It's been a pleasure having you. Thank you so much.
No, thank you, guys.
Appreciate really it, Dominic. Appreciate thank it. You.
You're welcome. And to everyone out there listening, we appreciate you. We wouldn't be here without you. We hope you found value and inspiration in this episode. If you'd like to hear more, click the link in the description, hit the subscribe button. We'll notify you when new episodes drop. To everyone out there in Gym Lords Nation, keep working hard, keep changing lives. Gym Lords out.
Thank you for listening to the podcast so far. Don't go anywhere. We still have another episode coming right up, right after this word from one of our sponsors. The Gym Lords podcast is sponsored by Prestige Labs. Prestige Labs is the first and only nutritional supplements company built by gym owners for gym owners. Prestige Labs solves the problem that all gyms have experienced, the broken inventory model, low commissions, and even lower quality products. Prestige Labs provides 100% drop shipping, zero inventory, PhD formulated high quality supplements for you and your clients. The goal is simple, cover 100% of your rent while never sacrificing your integrity. To learn more, or to become an affiliate of Prestige Labs for free, apply at affiliate.prestigelabs.com. That's affiliate.prestigelabs.com. Double your client results, double your income. You can head to affiliate.prestigelabs.com to become an affiliate for free. Now stick around for the rest of this episode.
Use coupon code GYMLORDS on prestigelabs.com for 20% off all future supplement orders.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Gym Lords podcast. I will be your host today. My name is Joe Fitzgerald, and joining us on the show is Mr. Rod Gibson of Snap Fitness out of St. Joseph, Missouri. Rod, what's going on, man? How are you today?
I'm good. I'm excited to be on.
I'm excited to have you here. I'm excited to kind of pick your brain. Snap Fitness is not new to you. You have your hands in a number of things throughout the business side of the fitness industry, but why don't you take us back a little bit with this specific location, at least before we dive in on the strategies and the tactics. Talk to us a little bit about what made you want to get involved here at this St. Joseph location. How did we get here today?
Okay, so this location and me, this is my baby. This is number one for me. And when I first got into out of college and into the fitness space, I learned that being a personal trainer was harder than I thought it would be. I learned that being the best trainer in the city was going to be harder than I thought it would be. But you know, it's really cool because I got a text when I was playing basketball at another gym from the gym owner at Snap, and he was like, "Hey, I want you to come first and foremost take over my gym." And he gave me complete control of it. He was like, "Hey, figure it out. Knock it out of the park." And we did that. We've been together 5 years and we've almost tripled our numbers since my start date. So, Snap Fitness corporate in me, we have our ups and downs, but Snap Fitness as a whole, it's been a really, really a big learning experience, especially for me going to big box gyms, small gyms, smaller than the Snap and a boutique style gym.
Yeah.
So been a learning experience for sure.
Yeah, it's funny because anytime I do this interview with somebody in Snap or this type of model, it doesn't make sense to compare directly to the big box like you're talking about, LA Fitness, 24 hour, whatever it may be. It's sort of in its own medium box category, right? Because we're still focused on the general membership, people coming and going as they please, but there's a lot higher focus on the coaching, the personal training, nutrition, group classes, whatever it may be. For you guys, what are those services looking like? What do you layer on in order to provide value and collect greater revenue for the location?
Right. So one of our direct competitors would probably be Anytime Fitness in the same space as us. In the Midwest, Genesis is like the big box gym that's buying up all the Gold's gyms in the Midwest. So we really don't pay attention to them. Or to be honest, I don't pay attention to Anytime. I just kind of care less. But what you're looking for is, okay, how do I get people in the gym? Well, probably not. I don't really do that. Like you put your money aside for ad spending and Facebook revenue and things like that. What I look for is, how do I get the member that's been here for 5 years to give me more money, right? So putting personal training aside, because we're all trainers and everyone who listens to this, they can listen to 40 other podcasts about personal training. The number one thing you need to do is figure out, okay, what's everyone doing? What's the pre-workout? All right. I mean, do you have a vending machine or some type of vending service that you can sell a $3 drink to every member that walks in the gym, right? You can sell a $3 drink to 30 people a day. I mean, just do the math, right? And then on top of that, in our small gym, you know, we decided, okay, we need to sell post-workout shakes, right? Not the pre-made stuff that tastes like literally cardboard and like concrete sadness and tears, but like we literally have a shake bar. We created a shake bar in our gym so we can sell shakes. So we got $3 on pre-workout side, $3 on post-workout side. So $6 a day for your members who maybe you don't want to raise the prices on, but you get a daily point of sale, which is more important to me than getting more members in and not knowing people's names, right? You can't build a culture if you don't know anyone's name. So for us, building a culture has to do with knowing people's names, but knowing, hey, we're out of your favorite pre-workout drink today. Did you want to try this pre-workout drink? It's the same thing. RTDs, man, I remember terrible, terrible, terrible story. 5 years ago when we first started, C4 had their RTD ready to drink pre-workout. And we didn't even know we should put them in a cooler at the time. Like, they weren't in coolers yet. We just bought it, and it was hot. And I drank it. This hits, but this tastes like cough syrup. So, you know, long story short, we built it up. And now we're moving, you know, 200-300 cans a week. So it's one of those things. But if you move 200-300 cans a week at $3 a can.
That's really the beauty of this model, is little things like that make such a huge difference when multiplied over the volume of a gym in this sort of space.
Right.
You can sell a $3 product, but if we sell 6,000 of them in a month, there's 18 grand that we weren't even capitalizing on 30 days ago. And so you guys have different retail offerings, right? Some nutritional shakes, whatever it may be. What about the coaching and the services side of this? PT, semi-private, group training, where do you guys...
Personal training is important in every gym I'm in. In every gym I'm in, personal training is important. I know some boutique-style gyms and our direct competitor Anytime is calling it coaching now, but let's call it space. But personal training is important. If you're not personal training in the gym, you're not going to make money. It's just not going to happen. Yeah. And, you know, I'm trying different things in different gyms. So one gym I'm trying, hey, it's like a barbershop booth rent, right? All my trainers just pay me up front a set amount per trainer. Hey, you pay me $50 per five clients you have, right? Or just random numbers, $100 per 10 clients you have, right? You can train all you want, as long as they're members. You can train them all you want, right? That works until, you know, your trainers, you see them pulling up and, you know, you're like, whoa, did you just buy that car? All right, I need to up my training money. But in some cases it works because trainers just can't get leads, right? So then I have to step in and figure out, okay, what are you doing to get your lead? And it's like, well, Ryan, I'm doing everything you do. Exactly, you're doing everything I do. They can just come train with me. You have to be your own trainer and things like that. So training is important in different gyms and different aspects, but you know, if we focus 100% on training, then everyone just becomes a sale. Everyone just becomes a, how can I get this person to buy me as a trainer? And then it's not a passive income. And then, you know, we're all working harder and sweating and, you know, that's not fun, right?
Yep. And PT in a situation like this obviously is probably the highest ticket item that we're going to sell in this sort of scenario. But it sounds, I mean, it's so simple to talk like, if I have five trainers doing five sessions a day, 5 days a week, it doesn't sound like a lot. But if we're talking over the course of a year, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Goes up.
For you, how are we directing people into that sort of a program? Where is that conversation best held?
At point of sale, man. As soon as they walk in the gym, if you're not giving out fitness assessments, literally yesterday I walked up to somebody. I was like, hey, I've noticed you've done the same workout for 3 weeks. So today you're going to work out with me. We're going to do something different. And, you know, for me, that works because my face is plastered around the gym. For me, that works. But for our trainers, man, it's got to be point of sale. When somebody signs up, we need to get them involved with the trainer, right? Hey, I'm going to leave your number here so a trainer can reach out to you. And then the trainer has to reach out to them. If you don't, I will. If you don't want to make your money, I will. But, I mean, I think in every gym aspect I'm in every gym environment I'm in, most of the trainers know that Rod will wake up at 5 a.m. and he won't go to sleep until 4:30 a.m. the next day if you don't want to make enough money. Like, most people know. Like, people understand if I don't make this money, Rod will. And then Rod will find somebody else who will make this money. So, it's, you know, it's just not even at my baby St. Joe's Snap Fitness gym, but, you know, in all the aspects of other gyms that I'm at, because even a direct competitor that I'm at, and I'm helping people change the culture of their gym, because my goodness. But you have to be willing to put in the money and the time and things like that before you can get anything. I mean, yep. if you're not at point of sale trying to find, hey, what are you here for? Why are you signing up? What gym did you come from to this gym? If you're not asking those questions at point of sale when you're giving them your tour and your spiel that everyone has some different way of selling, then you're literally putting your trainer on the back foot. Because now I got a cold call you.
Now, yeah, that's the situation. It's like, because yeah. if we're not getting them at point of sale, 9 out of 10 trainers are not good salespeople, Rod. They're just not. And so for them to walk up to somebody on the floor, for them to get somebody on the phone, whatever the situation is, right, it's a long shot from the beginning. You're saying, hey, they're already fighting an uphill battle.
And so, it's horrendous to think that most trainers are terrible salesmen. So you have to tell them what their price is. Because what I know, if you tell a trainer, hey man, you want to be a trainer, you can do whatever you want to do. We do, you know, a gym split, or if you were going to be an employee, I'll pay you. The most trainers would like horrendously undercut themselves. Like, there's no competition and you're doing a session for like $20. It's like, what are you doing? This is not 2003. Like, right?
Yeah.
What are we doing? So yep. That's one of the things that we have to do, especially, you know, I would give advice to anybody listening to this podcast who says, how do I get my trainers to make more money? You set their price. That way they can't negotiate.
Right.
So this is my price.
Yeah. Let's go and kind of break it down by the numbers for a second so the people listening can wrap their brain around at least this club and some metrics to work with. Give us an idea, square footage, members, and PT clients. How many or what are we looking at?
I'm sure we're at 4,500 square feet. We are packed full of equipment, which is great because we're always trying to do new things. And the weird thing about this gym is it's a mid-level gym. So, you know, we do have the 130 or 40 pound dumbbells. We do have the 1500 textile strength bars so you can lift as much as you want. We have things like that. Members wise now, I think I just cleaned out my numbers. So we just dropped under 400. So we're right at the 390, 395 right now, members wise. But gym owners, people will fudge those numbers. We do not have 390 paying members. We probably have 300 paying members. And then other people are on family memberships and things like that. So we're right around 300 paying members and paying memberships. And then personal training, our numbers are, I mean, let's say if we have at St. Joe, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If we have 5 trainers, they each have at least 5 to 6 clients. So we're doing okay there. But, you know, at other gyms, there's 1 trainer and they have 2 clients. So it's how we got our up it there, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And typically, people in this sort of space, they're either so exclusively focused on trying to build this membership base and live on EFT, or they're trying to build out personal training. Right. Where do you think you guys have the biggest opportunity? What's your focus right now?
The biggest opportunity, in my opinion, in every gym is daily point of sale. So if you can get the member who's on some grandfathered in $27 a month membership that we all hate to pay you $6 a day from a pre and post workout drink. That's it. That's, you know, what can we get daily from them? But, you know, building personal training is obviously and should always be the most important thing you think about in the day. You come in, you look at your numbers, what's my personal training numbers? You know, what's going to the bank, what's, you know, going out, things like that. You should look at those numbers. Those are most important. If you're not trying to build your personal training, first when you walk into the gym. I don't know, but after personal training, we put personal training aside, daily point of sale. I mean, you can see all my goodies that I'm trying to sell, right? Your merchandise, your shirts, right? If you're in a contract and you can't do your own type of merchandise and you have to use branded equipment or branded merchandise,
yeah,
I can sell it. Like, put it on all your trainers and make them walk around all day with it. Like,
yeah, it's funny because when we talk about building a business like this, there's only a handful of ways to do it, right? We can get more people, or we can get more money from the people that we have.
Yeah.
You're talking about selling other things to the people that are already in the doors, right? If we're to slap a metric on that, average revenue per member is by far a bigger focus than total members, if I'm understanding correctly. Is that right?
For me, at this gym, but this city has 11 gyms, right? So I can spend all the money I want on advertising to come into this gym, but Rod's not going to discount the membership price. So, like, when you come in, you know, to sign up my enrollment fee, first, and if you're a gym owner, if it's under $100, raise it to $100. Like, sign up. Like, right there, your point of sale is $100, right? And if you're to snap some no contract type gym, that's our model, no contract, right? Anytime has contracts. So we don't compete with that. So if you just put more money on the top end, your program fee, and say, hey, this is your cancellation fee as well. Does that make sense? So they're paying their program fee and their cancellation fee up front, and then they can cancel whenever they want.
Mm-hmm.
That makes more sense to me than, you know, when I first got into the space, Snap was the program fee was $8. You can sign up for $8. And then what killed me is we were taught, just waive the program fee.
Yeah, if it's that easy, then why have it at all?
You know what I mean? So we can't do that. And then, you know, our membership price, you know, for a single membership, you know, mid-40s for me. You know, I was listening to some of your podcasts. Everyone's like, oh, about $34, something like that. It's like, I get it up. Every time I go into a new gym, I ask, what's your membership price? And they go, oh, it's $30. Oh, it's time to raise it up. Like, raise it up. Like, let's go. Because I can't sell you a premium product for $12 a month.
Right.
And it
doesn't work for me. That's really it. And like, in the average buyer's mind, if we're to talk psychology of the fitness goer, yes, they've got all kinds of different options. But if you truly are different, if you truly provide the value you say you provide, $10 a month isn't that big of an ask to bump up. If we're going from 30 to 40 or 40 to 50, it shouldn't be the end of the world to these people. But multiplied over hundreds or thousands of members in this kind of model, that's going to be tens of thousands of dollars every single month and hundreds of thousands of dollars at the end of the year.
Yeah.
It's these kind of little moves making big impact on the long run.
Yeah.
I want to take a step back and explore your mindset when it comes to the marketing and getting people in the doors in the first place. What is your experience with successfully driving leads? How are we getting people into the facility before we can take any of these next moves?
Oh my goodness. So I've, in 5 years of being in this space and 10 years of training, I can tell you a million stories, right? And everyone can. You know, there's a great life coach named AJ Besser. He's always getting into your mindset. But you know what I've learned is, instead of posting some generic picture from Snap Corporate and then putting money into it on Facebook and then hoping that people click on the link or whatever, I take the worst picture possible of me and my members. Like, I mean, we're in our darkest moment. Like, we just did a horrendous leg day. Let's take a picture.
Doubled over, throwing up on the floor.
Blowing up. Like, I take the worst pictures, and those that I put on Facebook, I get the most like reach. Like, it's like, I don't know why, but the picture of that guy throwing up looks great. Let me see what's going on at this gym, right? So if you keep it not organic, because you still have to pay on Facebook, you still have to kind of get out, you know, of the, you know, your bubble, your Facebook bubble or circle, if anyone's done the Facebook marketing. But if you keep the pictures as real as possible, if you keep, you know, the experiences, and you post something or a terrible day of you, and then, you know, my members are savages. They will comment. They will let you know who he had a rough day, or, you know, if we had a 1,000-pound challenge and we squat, bench, and deadlift, and you equal 1,000 pounds, one guy, he said, hey, I squatted 500 pounds, and the members of Rufus, they were like, you didn't go to depth. Like, those are the things that get the leads to, okay, they click on it, their friends see it, I want to join this gym. And we got a couple members from just having a 1,000-pound challenge. So like,
yeah,
open things up. It's just being as organic and real as possible. I mean, you see me on here. Like, I don't have to fake it to make it, right? And, you know, being in an environment, especially in North Kansas City area, I mean, there's so much stuff going on in this area. I mean, you fake it to make it is only going to get you so far. But once they get in the gym and they see, oh, this isn't what Facebook showed me, it's like, exactly. So
as
organic as you can keep it.
I think every time this conversation comes up, and marketing can mean any number of things in our industry, and right. So it's a pretty wide open question, but every time this comes up, inevitably it has to link back to the quality of the product in general. If you have the world-class marketing system generating all of you leads and the best salespeople converting people into members, but your product sucks, people are going to know and people are going to leave.
Right.
And so just getting them in the doors, that's wonderful. Just converting them on a membership, especially without contracts, fantastic. How are we keeping these people beyond month one, right. Beyond day 30? What is our numbers look like? Is retention something that you guys are actively tracking?
Dude, I actively track everything. When I tell you, I work 25 hours a day. I'm not playing. But so with me, you have to care about those grandfathered in members because they're your biggest, you know, word of mouth. They tell everyone, hey, come to Snap, right? Even if they're not paying your $49 a month price, yep, right now. And if you don't want to raise them up, whatever, right? You have to understand it. Why are they still here is the reason why the next member is going to stay here for X amount of years, you know? So that's always important, talking to them. I don't understand. It's, you know, retention for me is easy because I will sit, drink a pre-workout with you and work out with you. And I'll ask you, hey, what's going on, right? And what I notice is a lot of owners won't do that. They'll disconnect, right? And when you disconnect, for some odd reason, you're like, oh man, I'm losing members. No shit, they don't know who you are.
They just want to cash the check.
No shit, they don't know who you are. I mean, the big box gyms can handle the turnover, but if you want to keep your numbers above 300, 400, 500 and your smaller gyms, if like no BS, because I heard on another podcast, they were like, well, we don't really care if we have members or not. Like, no BS. Like, I want more money. Like, I like nice cars, right? So if you want to keep your members, you have to actively engage with them. And I think, doing so, listening to them, wondering, hey, 15 people have asked me for this piece of equipment and it cost $100. Like, you know what I mean? Simple things like that. And I understand right now treadmills are probably $5,000. Like, I get it. But, you know, you don't need 40 TVs and then you don't need to pay 40 cable boxes for those TVs. You literally at our gym, we have two TVs with USBs in them just showing pictures of our members. You know,
that's it.
Simple things like that. If you see yourself on the wall, you'll probably come back. Does that make sense?
Yep. And so, I mean, like we said, right, the overall goal of this whole conversation, this is a business at the end of the day. Money in versus money out is the scoreboard here. And we need to make sure there's more coming in than going out.
Right.
At the end of the day, that's all we really care about. There's any number of ways that we can manipulate those numbers. But that's the scoreboard. And so as you move forward here, paint me a picture of the future of this location. You mentioned point of sale, getting retail out there is priority number one, building PT, priority number two, building EFT membership, priority number three. But paint me a big vision here, man. What is this gym going to look like a year, 2 years from now?
I think the cool part about that is, even I don't know, because I change this gym around all the time. I move equipment around all the time because I'm here every day and I'm with the members. And they're like, well, this machine should go here. So we do that. The cool part about it is, even I don't know, I am willing to do anything visually for the gym. But realistically and numbers wise, if we don't double and triple our numbers, I'm doing something wrong because that's the flow right now. If you zoom out on your chart, that's the flow right now. We should be doubling and tripling our numbers 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now. That should happen. And if you're not charting where you're going to go in the future, you're probably going to fail as a gym owner. But realistically, we need to do that, right? I mean, what you want is people to come in on a Monday and there's no parking, right? And last Monday, somebody came in, they drove around. I said, I know the number's called. He drove in, there's no parking. He drove to the other, there's a business across the street and parked there. He walked all over and he's like, man, I guess I'll just get on the treadmill for an hour until everyone leaves. I'm like, I'm sorry for you, but I love that for me. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
That's what you want. Like, you want that, but I need that Monday parking on Friday nights. I mean, I need that Monday. Any gym owner understands that.
Right.
That Monday parking on Friday nights, just so we can zoom out and triple. Let's triple. Why wouldn't we? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if we're not, you know, for whatever reason, I know people are in and out of their corporate contracts and contracts that are 10 years old. Even if we're not, like, you still have to. You know, the culture is not going to leave, even if the name changes. So.
Yeah, and is that the potential that's there? Can you handle 1,000+ here?
Oh my God, 100%. 1,000+ aren't going to use the gym at the same time, but 1,000%, we would love to see that number. We would love to see that number. We would love for an opportunity to blow this office out because we need the space. Does that make sense? Like, hey, we need space. Like,
yeah.
No more office. That's just
what you can go work from a coffee shop. We need this.
I will work from my car. Try me.
Yeah. Rod, I mean, it's an interesting situation. Every time I talk to a gym owner, they're scraping by, they're trying to figure out how do I get more people through the doors? How do I make more money? And in the conversation that you and I have, it sounds simple, right? When we talk about it, sell some stuff at point of sale. Get them into services that we know are actually going to help them,
right?
And be a human being and engage with them, and they'll stick around. Yeah. It seems fairly simplistic when we talk about it. In your experience, why is this not happening more? Why is it such a challenge in our industry?
I think because everyone's, corporate included, is, hey, let's do it this way. Let's run this play. If you're about to own a gym right now, the number one thing you should do is go to 10 gyms, see what you like, see what you don't like, right? And then incorporate what you like in your gym. I mean, being a human is very easy, but for some odd reason, we make it very hard, right? Like, sitting with people in your gym and saying, man, I see you use this machine a lot. You like it? And they're like, yeah, I like this because I used to go to this gym and they didn't have it. Or it was always broke or something like that. And I get equipment breaks all the time. But being human is trying to fix the equipment when you have no idea what you're doing. And you'd be surprised how many electricians or something work out at your gym and will come fix it with you. It's the smallest thing, but it works.
Yeah. And so here we are looking forward. You mentioned kind of your goals as you strive into the future, a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now.
Right.
You and I know, I mean, the fitness industry, it can be challenging at times. The last 18 months have been a weird, weird time in our industry. Ideally, we won't see another pandemic coming down the pipe, but what do you anticipate as possible challenges or possible hurdles when it comes to growing this club?
I was just texting one of my corporate reps last night, Tiffany Summers. She's an awesome, awesome, awesome woman. You know, regardless of what happens, because, you know, the time we're recording this, thing that happened in the world and everything like that, you never know. Like, you could, you know, as a gym owner, if I'm going to own a gym right now, why wouldn't you accept a cryptocurrency, right? And then as a form of some type of payment, right? You know, hey, Rod, I can buy it in this cryptocurrency. You never know in 5 years what crypto is going to happen and what's not going to happen with ETH or Bitcoin or, you know, whatever, right? But in 5 years, that might be, you know, where we're going. I mean, especially with inflation and things like that. I mean, I don't know the answer, and I don't think a lot of people do, but I will say with where the inflation's going, man, I know I'm raising my prices. So I that's all you do the same. I mean, I remember, this is how old I am. Back in Subway, you could get a $5 footlong.
You know, once upon a time, you sure could.
Now it's like $12.94. So if Subway can do it, Rod and all the gyms that Rod is in can do it.
but for some reason, we live and die by holding on to our pricing schemes. People grandfathered in from 10 years ago. We, everything, all of our costs, utilities, cleaning supplies, everything is going up, and people are still charging $20 a month. It blows my mind.
I can't. I'm just not the guy.
It
blows my mind when people, you know, call the handset fees are one thing, but if you're grandfathered into a price, eventually I'm going to raise your price, right? I mean, yeah, I just have to have that conversation with you. Hey, you know, water ain't cheap, like electric bills, there, utilities, things like that. You have to raise the price. I mean, it's a conversation you have to have with your members. And if you lose that member, that sucks. But if your culture is strong enough, the member's going to either understand or leave and come back. And then you can raise the price to whatever you want. So,
yep. Rod, we could go back and forth on this all day and talk about the things that are going well and the things that are typically not going well in the industry, but we'll have to save that for another interview. Before we get out of here, before we sign off, I want to give you the chance for people to find out a little bit more about your club. Is there a specific website or specific social media that they should go to?
Sure. So you can go to on Facebook, just type in St. Joseph Snap Fitness, St. Joe Snap Fitness for short. You can find all of our funny pictures, our characters, as we call them, but our members are all, we post them all on there. Same thing for Instagram. If you want to find me on Instagram, it's Rodnell, R-O-D-N-E-L-G on Instagram. You can find us all there. And if you want to sign up, of course, you can just go to snapfitness.com/St. Joe and sign up to be a member in like Las Vegas or something. I appreciate that.
Perfect. Man, this has been a bunch of fun, and I always appreciate the chance to kind of pick through owners' brains and see what makes them tick and how they're investing their time and their dollars in terms of growing a business. Right. We'll have to get you back on down the road, Rod, and see where things take you.
Give me only a year, see if I double my money.
Yeah, well, I'll hold you to that, man. And besides, this has been a bunch of fun. I appreciate your time, and I'll be cheering from the sidelines for you. How's that sound?
100%. Put me first.
All right.
Do not put me third.
All right.
So no one looks at the third guy.
Cool.
Hi, buddy. Hey, I appreciate it. You have a good day.
All right. Cheers. To everybody who tuned in, we appreciate you as well. Don't forget, if you want to be notified about future episodes, hit like and subscribe. If you're interested in joining us to talk about your business model and how it relates to the fitness industry, click the link in the description, fill it out. Our team will be in touch with you soon. And as always, until next time, Jim Lord's out.
Thank you so much for listening. If you found this content valuable, here's four ways we can help you grow your gym for free. One, grab a free copy of Alex Ramosi's best-selling book, Gym Launch Secrets, at alexsbook.com. Two, join our free Facebook group at alexsgroup.com. Three, if you're a gym owner, you can apply to be on the podcast by emailing us at podcast@gymlaunch.com. Four, leave us a 5-star review so we can gain access to more gym owners and bring those lessons back to you. And as always, tap that button and subscribe to this podcast for more.